Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed.
Come on, Freedom House, give God some praise. Aren't you glad we serve the healer? Amen? Not a healer, the healer. And I believe he is in the room today. Anybody want to walk out with some healing today? Yeah. Man, I'm just crazy enough to believe God is in the house. He might do some special things today. And so I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to be here. If I've never gotten to meet you, my name's Olin Carter. I serve here on our teaching team. If you're new to Freedom House, that's something very special about our church is that we do everything as a team, even the teaching and the preaching of God's word. So we have a live communicator every campus, every single weekend. That's a huge vision of our church, and that's made possible by our senior pastors. So can we just honor them, Pastor Troy and Penny? Give them a hand clap. They don't ask us to do that, but I love to honor them and appreciate their heart and their vision, and also just love to welcome our online campus. We have people joining us right now from all over the world: California, Michigan, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Maryland, New York, Ohio, Washington, Tennessee, Utah, and Oregon. You guys give it up for them. We're so happy you're with us today. You are a part of this family, and so we love you guys so much, and we're starting a new series called By His Stripes. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you in this room have ever received healing from God or know someone who has received healing from God? Raise your hand. Now, look at that. Look around the room. Keep your hands up. Look around the room. This is going to matter in a little bit. I'm going to bring this back up again. But look how many hands are raised. Almost every person in the room has either experienced it or witnessed it in the lives of someone else. And aren't you glad we serve a healing God? Man, in a world that will beat you up and tear you apart, sometimes you just need some healing. Amen. We come to God's house, and this is a place of refuge. It's a place of healing. And this is what we're supposed to take out of here to our friends, our family, to the world. I believe that God is not just a healer. I said this before. He is the healer. But if God is the healer, why isn't everyone healed? Why aren't everybody healed all the time, instantaneously? Why don't we see every healing we'd like to see manifest in the lives of the people around us, in our own bodies? Why don't we see it? You know, in the last few years, both my wife and my mother have had a struggle or a battle with cancer. Now, praise God, they both won the battle. My wife's sitting right here, totally cancer-free. Praise God. I've had a past struggle with gout. If anybody's ever had that, it is excruciatingly painful. And we all go through battles like this in our life where we battle with sickness, we battle with pain. But yet I've personally experienced and witnessed great miracles of physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing in my life and in the lives of other people. And so it brings me back to that question: why don't we see more miracles of healing? Why isn't everyone, every single person, every single time healed? And why do some healings take longer than others? Ever been healed and it was a process? I know I have. Sometimes it takes longer than you want it to take. And if you're in pain, guess when you want to be healed? Right now. I want to be healed today. You know, well, you know, maybe God's, no. I want it right now. When you're in pain, there's one good time to be healed, and that's right now. You don't want to put it off. You want to be healed right now. So sometimes it's a process. Why is that? Well, here's an amazing story, a passage of scripture we're going to get into today. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, this is Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. If you don't have your Bible or an app, we're going to put it on the screen for you so you can follow along. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And it says, "And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him being Jesus, a blind man, and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand He led him out of the village, and when he had spit on his eyes, he spit on that man's face. Come on now. I can't just read past that. That's a little different. Can I get an amen? That's a little different. Jesus spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, and he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on him, on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly, and he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Now, Jesus took this man, and he spit on his eyes. So I'm going to need a few volunteers today. Anybody? Anybody? Come on, y'all. Nobody wants to volunteer today? Come on. I'm just messing. Nobody's getting spit on today. Everybody relax. But I believe there's a lot we can learn from this passage. A lot of these questions that we have about healing, I believe, can be answered by breaking down and studying this story in this passage of Scripture. I think the first thing that we see here, and this is probably the preeminent thing we're going to talk about today, is we see this blind man, and what they did is they brought him to Jesus. They brought the man to Jesus. And did you know the number one reason why people aren't healed is because they don't ask? They don't ask. I'm guilty of that sometimes. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's sick today has failed to pray. There are times where we pray and we don't experience that healing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into that and what to do and respond in that way. But man, I can tell you, a lot of times in my life, I haven't been healed because I haven't asked to be healed. We get a headache, we get a cold, we get the sniffles, we get allergies, and we think, well, I'm not going to pray for that. I'm not going to believe God for me. If I had cancer, you know, I'd come ask the pastor, the elders of the church to lay hands on me, and I'd come up Sunday morning. But I mean, it's just allergies. It's just, you know, no big deal, right? I remember at my old church, we used to have this gentleman come in every year, and he did a week-long meeting, and he would talk about healing and faith and things like that. And I'll never forget, he said one time, when you have allergies or a headache and you don't bring it to Jesus, he said, you're causing the stripes that he took on his back for your healing to go in vain. Why would you waste the healing power of God that he has appropriated for your life because you think your issue is too small to bring to Jesus? He took a stripe for your head cold, for your headache, for your toothache, for your migraine, for your leg or nerve that just, well, it just pinches sometimes. I just have a little bit of pain. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. Jesus is like, okay. I'm here. I'd love to heal you. I'd love to help. But you got to bring it to me first. They brought this blind man to Jesus. Why? Because they had hope. They had the earnest expectation of good. And a lot of times we stop bringing it to Jesus because we tried it once, didn't work. I don't know. We just stop believing. We just stop hoping. Hope has died in our heart in this one area. Oh, we believe God for heaven. We believe he's healed our soul. We believe that, you know, he's forgiven my sins. We believe he can help us in this area or he can help my family. But in this one area, we've lost our hope. Stop believing. And that's where healing starts. There must be hope that there is something better. You got to have hope that the impossible is possible. That hope starts with Jesus. When we need healing, the first thing we need to do is shift our focus from our sickness to the healer. You gotta shift what you're focusing on from your pain, from your disability, from your injury, from your sickness, from your disease, onto Jesus. Now, when I was young, which was a very long time ago, my son had a basketball game yesterday and not enough kids showed up, so me and the other coach jumped in the game to run with them, and very quickly my age became apparent to me. It's a wonder I can walk today. So I'm very old. But when I was younger, I loved to play basketball. And so, I'd go all out. And this one time we were in practice, I got injured really bad. My leg got tangled up. Me and this other kid, we go airborne. We come down on my kneecap. And so my kneecap shifted to the side. it severed some of the cartilage, and I was just having issue after issue with it. So I went to a doctor, went to an orthopedic surgeon. They did all the stuff, you know, they took x-rays and all this stuff, and they said, well, it's really crazy because at your age, you shouldn't really have this, but you have early arthritis and tendonitis developing in the knee. You've cut off the cartilage, and when your knee's moving, it's getting stuck. And so sometimes I would bend my leg, I'd sit down, and then I couldn't stand up. Like, it would lock. Like, I couldn't bend my leg. And it was, how many of you know, that could be inconvenient at times. And so for a whole summer, I had this leg cast on, I was on crutches, and I was scheduled to have surgery. Well, I went to a healing meeting. And in this meeting, the man called out, he said, hey, there's somebody here, you've got a knee issue, you're having a lot of pain, and the doctors even told you that you're too young to have some of these issues. It's kind of crazy, and you've been struggling with this. And I'm just sitting there listening like, man, who is he talking about? Like, whoever this guy is talking about should really, like, raise his hand, you know, and get into this. And then my lightning-fast mind, after a few minutes, realized, I think he's talking about me. He said, you know, I believe God wants to heal you today. And I'm like, well, I mean, okay, let's do it. You know, what do I do? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I want you to stop focusing on the pain. Stop focusing on your knee and focus on the healer. Just focus on Jesus. Just begin to worship Jesus. Praise Jesus. And so I'm just sitting there. I begin to worship God. And he said, just bend down and put your hands on your knees. And when I did, I felt a heat come from the bottom of my feet. And this heat just went up through my body. And I'm here to tell you today, I never had surgery. I never had knee problems since. Now, I can't run up and down a basketball court real fast, but that ain't got nothing to do with my knees. My knees are good. My knees are just fine. But the Lord healed me. Why? Because I focused on the healer, not the issue. See, when you just stare at your pain, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe when you stare at the problem, when you focus on the symptom. But when you focus at Jesus, when you shift your eyes to Jesus, hope comes alive. Hope will come alive in your heart when you look the master in his eyes. When you see how much he loves you, when you see the power of Jesus, all of a sudden hope begins to come alive. And that doesn't mean that we ignore our pain or pretend that we're not sick. There are some churches, I've been in some of them, where they teach, you know, don't say you're sick. Don't you say, you know, if you say, well, I'm not feeling good. You are the healed of the Lord. Like, if you say you don't feel good, you cancel out the power of God or something. You notice in this story, they didn't bring the blind man to Jesus and pretend he wasn't blind. They didn't bring the blind man to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, would you just touch this man? Well, sure, what do you need? And the blind man's just, you know, and it's, but Jesus, he just loves you, you know, he just wants your touch. He just likes looking around a lot, you know. It's like, no, they said he's blind. They begged Jesus, would you just touch him? Would you heal him? Because he's blind. And when you're sick, you're sick. When my knee hurt, if some faith person come up, well, you just need to confess that pain away. Your knee doesn't hurt. I'm like, my knee does hurt. I can feel the pain right now. You want me to prove it to you? I'll hit you upside the head and see if your head hurts. That's just stupid. God knows you're in pain. You know you're in pain. And denying the pain doesn't accomplish one thing. He doesn't call us to deny the pain. He calls us, this passage, and I'm going to go into the context of this, is speaking to our ability to see the spiritual reality. To look past the natural reality, which is I'm in pain. My knee hurts, my head hurts, my back hurts, is to see past the natural reality. That is the natural reality, but he wants us to see the spiritual reality. To see the fact that no matter how much pain I'm in, his power is greater than my pain. No matter how I feel, Jesus can heal me. No matter how unworthy I may feel of his healing, I don't have enough faith, I don't believe enough, I haven't prayed enough. No matter how unworthy I feel, his grace is sufficient. He loves me. He has grace for me. And when we can begin to see the spiritual reality beyond the physical, then hope comes alive. Then we position ourselves to receive healing from the Lord. When we read Mark chapter 7 and 8, as the previous chapter from where we started out today, We see this recurring theme of spiritual blindness and what Jesus calls hardness of heart. Everybody say hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is something Jesus talked about a lot. And I know here at the Central Campus, we are super spiritual. Most of us probably never experience this, but I got to be honest, occasionally, once in a blue moon, my heart gets a little hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to see in the spirit. Sometimes I get so caught up in the things of the flesh, in the carnal things, the natural things, the money, the pain, the people, the problems, the stuff, that it's hard for me to see in the spirit. And Jesus calls this out. In chapter 7, we see this contrast between the religious leaders that Jesus rebukes for their hypocrisy and this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. The religious and even Jesus' own disciples can't see the spiritual with spiritual understanding. They're spiritually blind. They see Jesus, but they can't see Jesus. Jesus right in front of them, doing miracles, walking on water. Can't see him. They can't see him. They're spiritually blind. But this Gentile woman, the outcast, the woman who Jesus refers to her as a dog. Now, don't worry, Jesus isn't being mean. I've preached on this before. I don't have time to explain it today. Go on YouTube, you can check it out, okay? Jesus isn't being mean to her. He's causing her faith to arise. And this Gentile woman who knows she's unworthy, she can see Jesus. She can see Jesus. See, the Pharisees put down Jesus' disciples because they aren't focusing on all the religious stuff, all the outward displays of Jewish religious tradition. But the Gentile woman knows. She knows. She understands that she's unworthy. And she tells Jesus, I love this response. She says, Jesus, even the crumbs from the master's table are more than enough to deliver my daughter. That's faith. She sees Jesus. She sees who she is. She knows she's unworthy. She even admits it. Jesus says, I can't give the children's bread to a dog. She says, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat on the crumbs that fall off the master's table. She says, I don't even need all of you. You're so big. I just need a little bit. I know I'm unworthy, but I've come to the master, the healer. She's able to see. Then we see Jesus heal a deaf man. Same way he spits once again, which I'm going to explain to you guys in a little bit. We got to talk about the spitting thing. So he heals this deaf man in almost exact same way as he heals the blind man, with one exception. The deaf man hears instantly. He's instantaneously, completely healed. And then we see Jesus take 7 loaves and a few small fish, and he feeds 4,000 people. 4,000 people with a few fish in his hands. And so after seeing Jesus rebuke the Pharisees, after seeing Jesus deliver the Gentile woman's daughter, after seeing Jesus heal the deaf man, after seeing Jesus feed the 4,000 with just a few loaves and fish, what do the disciples do next? Do they go and preach an amazing sermon? Do they walk on water? Do they raise the dead, cast out devils? I mean, you would think they would. Their faith would be at an all-time high, right? I mean, they just saw Jesus do all this incredible stuff. Jesus is being Jesus right in front of them. And he's kind of showing off. I mean, he's doing some big miracles. And what do? They stress out because they forgot to pack lunch. They lose their minds. They start arguing with each other because someone forgot the bread. Look here in Mark chapter 8, verse 17. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? See it? Jesus is shocked. He's like, what are you guys talking about? Are your hearts hardened? Verse 18, he says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? And how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said, 12. And he said, and the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Here they are arguing about a lack of bread, and Jesus said, did you not just watch me take a few pieces of bread and feed 5,000 people? In fact, we had food left over. How much did we have left over? And they had to tell him. I think he was like memory checking them. Like, are you guys, did you bump your head getting onto the boat? Do you not remember what I just did in front of you? He's shocked at their hardness of heart. And this gives so much context to our story today about the blind man. See, the issue isn't the physical blindness any more than it was a lack of loaves and fish. The issue today is never the disease you have, the sickness you're suffering from, or the pain that you feel. That's not the issue. It's never the issue with God. It's not the emotional scars, the trauma that we've been through. It's not the sin you've committed. There's no sin so great Jesus can't forgive it. There's no emotional scar too deep that Jesus can't heal it. There's no sickness or pain so severe that Jesus can't heal it. Would it have been harder for Jesus to feed the 4,000 if he'd only had 5 loaves instead of 7? Oh, well, if we'd have had 7 loaves, guys, I was going to pray and bless it. Man, we were going to feed everybody, but you only got 5. I'm stuck. Would it have been harder for Jesus to do the miracle with a few less loaves and fish? What if he'd only had 1? What if he just had 1 loaf of bread? Do you think Jesus could have still fed the 4,000? What about the 5,000? Could Jesus have fed that? What if it was 10,000? What if it was 20? What if it was 100,000? What difference does it make? What difference does it make to God the severity of the problem? He's God. And it doesn't make any more difference to God whether you're sick with a head cold or terminal cancer. That's not the issue to God. Sometimes we get so caught up in the sickness and pain that we have, we forget the greatness of our God. That that's never the issue. When you understand the true power and grace of Jesus, like the Gentile woman did, hope comes alive. It will wake up that dormant hope that's in your heart. Now let's think through how Jesus heals the blind man. Let's get back to our main question today. We already know that step one is we got to bring it to Jesus. We're never going to get healed if we don't bring it to God, right? So if we're sick, we got to bring it to Jesus. Now, show of hands, how many people in the room today, you're suffering from some type of sickness or pain in your body right now? You're sick, you've been sick this week, you're feeling some pain right now. Okay. And so before we leave today, we're going to bring it to Jesus. That's step one. We can't expect any healing if we don't bring them to Jesus. We got to do like they did with the blind man. We got to bring it to Jesus. That's step one. But the blind man, he's brought to Jesus. Jesus does this miracle, but he's not healed right away. So we need to understand this. So let's go through a few questions about this story. Number one, did Jesus have the ability, the power to heal the man instantly? Do you think Jesus had the power? Did he have sufficient power to heal this blind man immediately? Yeah, was it a power issue? Was Jesus tired? Well, I'm at 70%, man. I'll get your eyes open, but people are going to look real funny to you, right? Was it a power issue? No, it wasn't a power issue. Heaven wasn't running on E. Jesus wasn't light on power. This is the easy one, right? We know he had the ability to heal the man instantly. So second question, did Jesus desire to heal the man completely? What do you think? Did he desire to heal the man completely? Yes. And you know how we know that? Because if Jesus didn't desire to heal the man completely, the man wouldn't have been healed completely. Right? God's not going to do something. Jesus was not going to do something that wasn't in God's will. Right? And so we know it was Jesus' will for the man to be completely healed, because if not, he would have laid hands on the man, spit on the man, the man would open his eyes. Do you see? Well, I see people. They look like trees. And Jesus would have said, well, hey, man, good luck with that. I got to go. Right? We got to get to the boat. He would have just left the man partially healed, but we know that's not what happened. The man was totally and completely healed. So we know it was Jesus' desire to heal the man completely. So this brings us to really the big question. And this is where it impacts us. What did Jesus think? How did Jesus respond when the man responded that he wasn't completely healed. How do we respond? When we're believing for something from God and it doesn't happen right away, we don't feel it right away, we don't experience it right away, how do we respond? I know how I respond. Sometimes, I let go of faith real quick. Man, like it's a hot pot I picked up off the stove, right? Like I try my faith sometimes. Oh God, if you just, yeah, maybe not. Like it didn't work. I didn't see it, experience it right away. So I'm just gonna, I'll figure it out on my own. But how did Jesus respond? Did Jesus doubt himself? Did he go, oh no, I must not be the Messiah? Is that how Jesus responded? No. Did Jesus question his tactics? Did he spit on the man and then go, hey, can you see? Well, kinda. Man, that spitting trick usually works. Is that what Jesus did? No, he didn't question his tactics. No, he laid hands on the man again. Why? Did Jesus fail to release enough power the first time? Do you think Jesus made a mistake? No. What about in our life? When we pray, we ask God for something, we don't experience it right away. Did God make a mistake? Did he mess up? Did he just send part of the answer? No. No, we know that. Or maybe, because Jesus loves us, and because Jesus loves this blind man, maybe he did it to help the man receive his healing. Maybe it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. Maybe it had something to do with the man. Why did Jesus spit in the first place? Now, I've been telling you we're going to get to this. Most interesting part of the story, right? You read it and you're like, he spit on that man's face. Like, that is crazy. What are you doing, Jesus? Well, here's what you got to know culturally. Your spit, your saliva, or any bodily fluids, it was considered ceremonially unclean. So if I accidentally, I spit on you, accidentally, you had to go and wash and do a ceremonial cleansing because that made you unclean, okay? Except if the spit came from a holy man or a healer. See, in their culture, if a rabbi or a healer, a man that was known to be used by God to heal physical infirmity, if his spit touched you, it was not just considered clean, it was considered something that God could work through to bring healing in your life. So maybe when Jesus spit, maybe it wasn't for Jesus, maybe it was for the man. Maybe it was to help the man who was struggling with his faith to receive. Because I tell you, I don't know about you, but if I had been blind for a long time and some of my friends said, hey, I'm going to bring you to the service and they're going to pray and you're going to see, like I'd be real excited. I'd have maybe a little bit of hope, but I might be struggling with my faith to receive. I might be hoping it works. Like I've heard about Pastor Adam, man, like he flows in the power of God. But maybe I need a little help. Like I need something to help me connect with that faith. To believe. And so maybe Jesus didn't need to spit. How many of you think Jesus needed to spit in order to heal the man? No, right? Because we see Jesus heal people with just speaking a word. So Jesus didn't need to spit. So maybe the man needed Jesus to spit. Maybe the man needed a point of contact to help his faith receive what God had for him. Why did Jesus take the man outside the village? Because we see Jesus heal people in the village. We see Jesus heal people in the temple. So why did he take him outside the village? Maybe it wasn't for Jesus' benefit. Maybe it was for the benefit of the man. Maybe Jesus wants to take you out of your village today. Maybe he wants to take you out of the world of distractions you're around. Because sometimes when we're believing God to heal us in our life, man, we've got 57 people around us telling us why it won't happen. We're surrounded by people that are full of doubt and unbelief. And they love us. They have the best intentions. Sometimes they just don't want to see us disappointed. Right? Sometimes I feel that way for myself. Sometimes I'm like that way about stupid stuff. Like, right? I don't want to get disappointed. And so I don't dare to believe. Because if I dare to believe and it doesn't happen, I'll be disappointed. And we're surrounded by a village of people
that are speaking that doubt and unbelief into us every day. And so what does Jesus say? Jesus takes us by the hand and he says, hey, just come with me. Just come with me. I just need to get you away from the distractions. So instead of looking and listening at them, instead of focusing on your past and your pain, you can just look at me. You look at Jesus long enough, stuff starts to change. Hope comes alive. Why did Jesus lay hands on him? Because Jesus could heal him without touching him. Maybe it was a point of contact, a point of contact that would help this man believe and receive. Many Christians think, and I know I've done it many times, man, I prayed and God didn't heal me. Sometimes that's how we think. It's how we talk. I prayed, they prayed, we prayed, and God didn't. Instead, I think maybe the way we should think and the way we should pray, hey, I prayed, I haven't seen, I haven't experienced the full, complete healing yet. So, Lord, help me see with my spiritual eyes. Help me receive the healing that you have for me. I remember once years ago, it was during my old church, that tent meeting time of year, and I had a lot of responsibilities. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I had a bunch of stuff I had to do, and man, I had the worst headache. Ever just get a headache, it feels like somebody is driving a nail. I mean, it wasn't like a mild, it was almost like a migraine. It was debilitating. It hurt so bad. I got in my car, shut the door, and I'm like, God, I need you. I got too much to do today. And I prayed, and I said, God, please heal my headache. And my head hurt worse. And I thought, man, either my faith ain't working or God is against me here or something, you know? And I said, I prayed again, God, please heal my headache. My head hurts so bad. Nothing. If anything, my head hurt worse. And so you ever have one of those moments where you wrestle with God like Jacob did? Man, I got so mad. I determined, I'm not getting out this car till you heal me. Like, if you're a healer, then you're going to show up right now. Or, like, I'm going to stop believing in healing. Like, it's time. Like, I want it. Now, let's go. And I just begin to pray and go after God. And the Lord just began to show me, to reveal to me, son, I've already healed you. Just receive it. And so I changed the way I prayed. And instead of praying for God to heal me, I just started thanking God that he had healed me. I sat there in my car, and I don't know how long I sat there, maybe 20, 30 minutes. And if somebody had walked up, they'd have thought I was a crazy person talking to myself or something. But man, I was going after God, and I was just beginning to praise God. God, thank you. I know no matter how much doubt and unbelief is in me, I know you've healed me. I know you love me. I know you've done it. And I will sit here and declare the goodness of God until my head manifests what I know you've done. You're my healer. This headache has got to go. I will sit here and praise you because you're my healer, God. And I just sat there and praised God until all of a sudden, I got so caught up in praising God, I didn't even realize my head stopped hurting. The headache was totally and completely gone. Why? Because I shifted my focus from the pain to the healer. In the next chapter of Mark, we see a demon-possessed boy brought to Jesus. Mark 9, verse 21. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, and that's how sometimes we come to God. We come to God and we say, God, if you could just do something. Like, don't even heal me. Just help the pain die down, God. God, don't even completely heal me. Just, like, we start bargaining with God. Just give me a little bit, God. Like, he's the man, he's like, if you can just do anything, I'm at my wit's end. If you can just do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I love this reply from Jesus. Jesus said to him, if you can. I don't think Jesus was angry. I think Jesus is astounded. If son, do you know who you're talking to right now? If I can, what does he say? All things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out, and this is the right response. This is what he's looking for from us. If you don't remember anything else today, this is what I want you to grasp onto. The father cried out and said, I believe. but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. He said, I'm trying to believe. I want to believe. I believe. I trust you. But I've got some doubt mixed in there. I've got some unbelief mixed in there. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And that's a tough scripture when you read it wrong. When you read that, like, I can never have doubts, that's tough. Because we all have doubts. But here's what God is trying to get across to us, and how it correlates to the man whose son was demon-possessed. We all have doubts. The problem is not that you don't have enough faith. The problem is not that you have doubt. The problem is when you mix the two. See, when you mix faith with doubt, it's no longer faith. And so imagine for a minute I had a pitcher of water up here. And in this pitcher of water, this pitcher of water, the water is our faith. And so I've got this big pitcher of your faith. And into this pitcher of your faith, I'm the world, I begin to drop little droplets of black poison, of dye, and it just spreads out. Can you see it in your mind? Like it just begins to diffuse into the water, and this black ink, this black evil thing, it just begins to just get all throughout that water. It's contaminated. I mean, we know it's poison, so you're certainly not going to drink it, right? It's not water anymore because you can't drink it. It's not pure water. It's no good to you. And how do you get that black dye? How do we get the doubt and unbelief out of our life? Because you can't get a spoon and reach down in a pitcher of water and scoop out that black dye, right? You'll never get all of it. It's impossible. But here's what you can do. I set this pitcher right here. I get a hose with pure water flowing out, and I just put the hose, the flow, into that pitcher, and I leave it there. Eventually, all the water and the dye that was in the pitcher has overflowed the sides until there's nothing left but what's pure. And you don't have to have faith without doubt forever. You just need it for a moment. All you need to do is get to one moment in your life where you've put the word in enough that the doubt is gone. And in that moment, you go to God, you connect, you will receive. You'll receive. Because God loves you. And he's trying to get across to you salvation and blessing and healing for your physical body. The problem is not that God's not giving. The problem is with our receiver. And so Jesus takes the blind man out of the village. He takes him out of the distractions. He takes him away from the doubt. He says, look at me. He spits using a holy man's saliva. He does everything he knows this man will connect with. It will help this man get the doubt out and step into his faith. Knowing, like he told so many others. I love these stories. They come to Jesus and they're like, Master, if you can just, my daughter. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Just like that. Your faith has made you whole. Because you, that Gentile woman, that Syrophoenician woman, Jesus says, because you replied like that, you have what you've asked for. It didn't take him an hour. Jesus didn't say, you know, I like you. You've got some good faith. Let me get with the disciples and we're going to work on this thing. I think a few weeks we could have that demon out of your daughter. No, Jesus says, you got faith. You've got what you've asked for. Your daughter, she's free right now. God is always in the giving mode. We are rarely in the receiving mode. Because we live in a world, in a society around people that are always putting the doubt in. I was talking to Dave Greco the other day. If you don't know Dave Greco, he's a trip, man. I love that man. If I need somebody to pray for me, I'm going to Dave Greco. Like, I know he's going to pray. And he's on the board of our church. Dave's amazing. Been around here for a long time. And he was telling me this story about healing. And he said, you know, he was struggling to receive his healing. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, when the man witnessed to you for you to come to me, how long did it take you to get saved? And Dave said, well, What do you mean? He said, well, when the man shared his faith with you, you remember the man? Dave said, yeah. And he told me, I can't remember the man's name, but he knew the man's name immediately. You know, oh, yeah, yeah, the so-and-so. And he shared his faith with me. He said, how long did it take you to come to faith, to come to Jesus? And Dave said, well, about 3 months. And God said, spoke to Dave, and he said, could you have received me sooner? What? Yeah, I mean, I could have received you that day, right? God said, exactly. And it's the same thing with your healing. When you hear God's word about healing, that God loves you, that he's a healer, your healing is available to you. The question is, how long will it take you to receive it? How long will it take you to receive it? And listen to me, there's no judgment in this. I do it. We all do it. We're human beings. None of us are perfect, and none of us have perfect faith. Sometimes the situations of life, and there are things, and this is a sermon for another day, but there are things that can block us from receiving from God, like unforgiveness, strife in our marriage. There are things like that. Here's the key point. We go to God and we say, God, I know you love me. I know you're the healer. Help me to receive. Whatever it might be that's holding back your salvation, your healing, your blessing, your forgiveness, whatever it is that you need from God today, God's the giver. You just need to be the receiver. You just need to ask him, God, I want to open my heart. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me with this doubt that's crowding out your word so that I can receive from you. How many of you would like to receive from God today? A lot of people. He's here and he loves you. It's not dependent upon me. It's not dependent upon how great you've been. And I think one of the greatest things that holds people back, especially in the area of physical healing, is this thought that I'm not good enough. I don't have enough faith to receive. Oh, I've seen miracles. I believe God does miracles, but that's for those people, not for me. There's absolutely zero difference in the faith it takes to receive salvation and the faith it takes to receive healing. No one earns salvation and no one earns healing. People aren't healed because they have more faith than you. We're healed because of God's love and God's grace. We're healed because he's a healer. We're healed because some of us have just gotten enough word that for a moment we believed. At that tent meeting we used to do, my old church, never forget, I was helping set out chairs and praying and stuff before a service, and I met this lady. She was so excited. I said, man, I could just tell you are pumped up to be here, man. She said, oh, I'm so excited. I said, you come every year? She said, yeah, I come every year. She said, I was healed of cancer last year at this meeting. I said, oh, did so-and-so, the minister, pray for you? She said, no. I just sat and listened to the word. She said, I just sat and listened to God's word. And somewhere in listening, I never came up front to be healed. She said, but in just hearing the word of the Lord, somewhere faith came alive. I went to my doctor. Cancer is gone. Just from hearing the word. You've heard the word today. That seed is implanted in your heart. The healing has already begun. We just need to receive. Amen. Amen. Will you stand on your feet with me today? Man, I just want to offer you an opportunity. Maybe someone's here. Just bow your head, close your eyes, focus on Jesus, just like we've been talking about this whole message. Don't worry about the people. Don't worry about the issues you have to face this afternoon. Don't worry about anything else, but just give a moment or two right now to you and God, your relationship with him. And maybe you struggled to receive from God. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you that he died for you. He loves you so much. He came for you. Will you receive it? Will you receive it by faith, just trusting in his goodness? The Bible says that if you'll declare out of your mouth that he is Lord, that you have faith and trust in him, if you'll just believe in your heart that he was risen from the dead, that you will be saved. That word saved means healing, wholeness, complete salvation. So whatever you need today from God, it can be yours. If you want to give your heart to Jesus right now, you've never professed him as your Lord and Savior. You've never walked with Jesus before, but you're like, man, I want to do it today. I'm all in. If that's you right now, would you, simple act of faith, just like the blind man, he walked out of the village. There were these faith steps. Would you just take a faith step right now and just lift up your hand and say yes to Jesus? Amen. I see hands going up, hands going up, hands going up. Amen. Thank you so much. Man, we're going to pray this prayer together, and we're going to pray this by faith. Those that are joining us online, there's a button in the chat, and we have a whole team of people that love you and want to pray with you as well. You're a part of this. Please pray with us. And I believe if you're here today and you're sick, when we pray this prayer, man, you're going to position yourself to receive your healing from God today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray this together. Say, Father God, I believe Jesus came to set me free. He died on the cross, he rose again, and he is alive. I profess, I acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my healer. And I claim my healing by faith right now in Jesus' name. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. And just receive it for just a moment. Just stand there. Just receive it. Now I believe people are getting healed right now all across this room. Just stand there just 30 more seconds. You just receive it. Just focus on Jesus. For some of you, the pain's already beginning to go. Just receive it right now. He loves you so much. It's there for you every day. Just receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.